Today, jobs, jobs, jobs means more rate hikes incoming. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is posts covering finance and property news. Mortgage holders should brace for more hikes in the cash rate this year, as today we got the latest data from the ABS relating to the labour market, although perhaps savers can rejoice. There was actually no change in the Sydney adjusted unemployment rate, which remained at 4.1% in January, while the trend measure fell from 4.2% to 4.1%. The latest data showed that around 18,000 people found work in December, slightly undershooting the gain of 20,000 the economists had expected. This was because full-time employment rose by 50,000 people, but was partially offset by a fall of around 33,000 people in part-time employment. The participation rate was 66.7%, and that was 0.6 percentage points lower than the record high that was measured in January 2025. The underemployment rate rose 0.2 percentage points to 5.9%, and the underutilization rate also grew by 0.2 percentage points to 10%. And youth underemployment rose 1 percentage point to 14.8%. This rise largely reversed the fall recorded last month, but it does still remain very high and is a concern. We do need to get more youngsters into more work. And overall, hours worked was up 0.6% in January. Now, the ABS said that this month fewer people reported working less hours than typical January due to being on leave, and this contributed to hours worked growing more strongly than employment. Full-time hours worked grew by 0.7%, while part-time hours worked only rose by 0.1%. On average, part-time employed persons worked more hours this month, with part-time hours worked per person increasing by 0.8%. They said, however, the total number of part-time hours worked only rose 0.1%, with the number of people employed part-time falling 0.7%. Across the states, Tasmania had the highest unemployment rate at 4.9%, followed by the Northern Territory at 4.5%, Queensland at 4.3%, Victoria at 4.2%, the ACT at 4.1%, and New South Wales also at 4.1%, while South Australia was at 3.7% and Western Australia was lowest at 3.4%. So there were significant variations across the states. And looking at the trend data, the trend unemployment rate fell from 4.2% in December to 4.1% in January, as the number of unemployed has decreased for the fourth consecutive month. And trend employment and hours worked both grew by 0.2% in January, while annually hours worked grew faster than employment. Now, Treasurer Jim Chalmers said the strong result is, quote, yet another reminder of the resilience of our labour market at a challenging time for the global economy. As the Reserve Bank governor said last week, the state of the labour market is good news for our economy, especially compared to other countries grappling with much higher unemployment. However, given the RBA hiked rates last month and discussed the tightness of the economy, the 4.1% number is a signal that we should expect more rate rises in the months ahead. And of course, the inflation data for the month of January, which comes out next Wednesday, will be even more critical now for the RBA's decision-making than ever. The recent statement of monetary policy, which was last updated just a few weeks ago, showed it expects the unemployment rate to move higher, to settle at around 4.6% by the middle of 2028. And while Australia is struggling to bring inflation back under control, unemployment has remained very low by historical standards. In fact, Governor Bullock said that the RBA estimated full employment, or the NARU, was at 4.6%, so we are well under that. Given the poor growth and productivity rates that we're seeing at the moment, clearly there is little spare capacity in the labour market at the moment. Thus, the RBA minutes from their most recent decision meeting said the rate decision was partly based on the assessment the labour market had been a little tighter than consistent with full employment over the second half of 2025. Higher inflation is, of course, being driven by demand in the economy exceeding the ability of the economy to deliver, despite or perhaps partly thanks to record high government spending. Now, a couple of important points to make about the employment data. The ABS has a very specific definition of unemployed. They say not an employment criteria refers to a total lack of work, that is, not in paid employment or self-employment as defined in international standards of employment. Unemployed people are defined as all of those of working age who were not in employment, carried out activities to seek employment during a specific period, and were currently available to take up employment given a job opportunity. People who are without work should not have undertaken any work at all, not even for 1 hour, during the relevant period, or nor should they have been temporarily absent from a job to which they have a formal attachment. Seeking employment refers to any activity when carried out during a specific recent period, comprising the last 4 weeks or 1 month for the purpose of finding a job or setting up a business or agricultural undertaking. And persons without employment who are seeking employment should also be available for employment if they are to be considered as unemployed. So this potentially excludes those not actively seeking employment, and you only have to work for an hour to be classed as in work. Next, of course, there continues to be considerable variation in the results, which are driven by around 26,000 household surveys each month. Information is collected through a household sample conducted by trained interviewers, either face-to-face or over the phone or via online self-completion form. The survey is detailed, they say, including around 70 questions. And the scope of the survey is limited to the usually resident civilian population of Australia, aged 15 years and over. As such, the survey includes residents who are temporarily overseas, less than 6 weeks, but excludes members of the permanent defence forces. And the ABS then weights the people in the survey sample to the most recent population figures to provide a representative picture of the whole population. So one question here, of course, is do they have the right measure of the total population given the high migration and the fact that some of that data is significantly delayed? Such surveys have tended actually to provide less clean results, especially since COVID, with agencies from the US, the UK, as well as Australia, all struggling with response rates and how to adjust for seasonal variations, which appears now to be following a different path. The ABS says the trend data provides the best measure of the underlying behaviour of the labour market, and it is the focus of the commentary in their publications. And they go on to say that in Australia, the sample can be thought of as comprising 8 sub-samples or rotation groups. Each sub-sample remains in the survey for 8 months. A new rotation group is introduced each month to replace an outgoing rotation group generally from the same geographic area. Now, the incoming and outgoing groups do have different unemployment and participation rates, which can make changes to the final result. So all up, while there is some volatility in the labour market data and some questions about its validity, it is used by the RBA as part of its monetary policy decision framework. And based on all we know at the moment, I guess black swan events excepted, Iran, for example, further rate hikes are on the cards. Markets are betting on this, with bond yields moving higher after the release. The 30-day cash rate futures is still positioning for further rises too. So those banking on a big mortgage should plan for higher rates ahead. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.